As we are looking in John's Gospel, chapter 11. And if nothing changes, we'll be in chapter 11 the next 2 weeks. Today we want to focus on verses 21 through 27. As we continue in our series, Disciples Making Disciples, Becoming Disciples. What you'll recognize is that this is the seventh I am statement that we will come to today, but there'll be a couple other messages along with it. As you're turning there, John 11, 21 through 27, many people fear death. Would you say that's true? We fear death because in the view of many, death is the end. As Bertrand Russell, a 20th century philosopher and an atheist, said, as he was approaching death in 1970, he wrote these words, "The life of man is a long march through night, surrounded by invisible foes, tortured by weariness and pain, toward a goal that few can hope to reach, and where none can tarry long. One by one, as they march, our comrades vanish from our sight, seized by the silent orders of omnipotent death." If this is how you view death, I understand why you fear death. Because if we compare the words of Bertrand Russell to the words of Scripture, we will find that Russell falls short of the truth. In fact, as he describes life as a long march through the night, what we know, those of us who believe Scripture as Jesus, is the light of the world. And so in Jesus, we can choose to live out our lives in His light. And we know that death is not omnipotent, because death has been conquered. Boy, that ought to bring joy and peace and comfort to us, just to know that death has been conquered. When we look here in Matthew's gospel, in these verses 21 through 27, the Bible says, in chapter 11, verses 21 through 27, and again, as we said last week, I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. "Martha then said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise from the dead.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and he who comes into the world.'" God's holy word. God, we thank you. We thank you for the assurance and the comfort and the peace that we receive through your word. Now continue to speak your word to us. Minister to us, God, as we look in your word and find its truth. And God, we'll praise you for what's accomplished. And God, we thank you for Brother Buck, that God, that he has surrendered his life to you. And if there's any others in this place that doesn't know you through your son, Jesus Christ, speak to their hearts, God. Remind them that there is one who conquered death. And because you conquered death, we can have victory also. God, thank you for loving us in spite of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of us here in the church, we are familiar with this narrative. This narrative that goes along with today's text is a familiar storyline to us. And for some, maybe it was the song that Karen Peck and New River sang many years ago, 4 days late. Maybe it was that song that really pricked the hearts of some of you to really search and see what she's singing about. But maybe it was that you grew up in church and you've heard the stories of Jesus arriving 4 days late and bringing one from the grave. I don't know how it is you come to be familiar, but I'm sure most everyone in here is familiar with this narrative. We know that Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, had become sick. His sisters, concerned and worried for him and his life, they sent for Jesus. They sent for him to come quickly. However, Jesus has other plans. And what we know is that Jesus states this sickness is not meant for death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. So Jesus and his disciples, they remained right where they were at for 2 more days. They were a day's journey out. And then on the third day, they take this full day's journey. And while they take this journey, I only imagine Jesus teaching and preaching and sharing more information along the way. But before they left, what we know is that the disciples began to question Jesus. They began to question Jesus because they knew that the people in Judea, the religious leaders, were seeking to stone Jesus. And Jesus had said that he was asleep. And if Lazarus is asleep, he's doing okay. You know what that's like in parents, especially you new parents or young parents. You really remember when your child's asleep, you leave them alone. Don't let nobody pick them up. Don't let nobody hold them. Don't matter if grandma comes in. Don't pick him up. Don't wake them. And when they're sleeping, you find a way to go to sleep during those times, right? Yeah, you remember that. I think that's why grandma's wanting to wake them up and granddaddy's wanting to wake them up, because they remember how you were when you were a baby. Yeah. Jesus had told these boys, you know, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going so that I may awaken him from his sleep. And their response is, if he's asleep, why are we wanting to go wake him? He's doing well. These people want to kill you. Jesus realized they were lost. They had no idea what he was really saying. You know, a couple weeks ago I shared there were times when Jesus had to say things the same way, or had to say the same thing over a different way. This is one of those times, because he says Lazarus has died. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let's go to him. You know, in that statement, what just struck me, I don't know why it's just struck me right now, but it's just struck me that if Jesus really understood that if he was there, he couldn't have allowed his friend to die, because he said it was good that I wasn't there. Have you ever felt like the Lord's playing some game with you? Do you ever feel like he's giving you information, but not enough information? Sometimes it seems like our heads are just spinning because of how he chooses to allow things to play out in our lives. When this takes place, what the Lord is doing is stretching us. And what I mean by that, it is he's helping us grow our faith. He's helping us grow our faith in him by proving that we can trust him even when we don't understand. But not only is he growing our faith, he's also receiving glory. Because whenever we follow him, when things aren't clear, when we just don't understand, or maybe even don't believe that this is the right thing to do, but we just trust him anyway, he gets glory for it. That's the problem with unbelief. So many who are far from God can't see how believing in him will make a difference. Many unbelievers don't know how he will forgive them for all that they have done. Many don't know how he will help them navigate the Christian life, so they continually reject him. But the truth is, if we'll just surrender to him, he'll show us the how in his time that's for our good and for his glory. I'm here to tell you, you can trust him. And you'll find that his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient because his power is made perfect in our weakness. Folks, I'm convinced that true disciples grow to trust the Lord no matter how little we understand. And this is what Jesus wanted his disciples, as well as Lazarus' sisters, to come to know. But when Martha heard he was coming, she went out to meet him. And when she went out to meet him, she went out complaining. So this text, it helps us to see a simple believer's faith. You know, we've been talking about the difference in a believer and a disciple. And this text helps us to see a simple believer's faith. Martha believed in Jesus. She even believed that Jesus could have healed Lazarus. And he could have kept Lazarus from dying. But Jesus had not come immediately when he was called. So her brother was dead. Why did Jesus not come when he was called? Why did he not heal Lazarus when she and the family loved Jesus so much and had done so much for him? Why did he allow Lazarus to die? These are in the questions that she's asking. You know, Martha, again, she believed in Jesus. She believed him to be the Messiah. She believed that he was sent from God, but she did not believe to the point that she could rest in her faith. Her faith was limited. She did not have enough faith to place her brother in the Lord's hands. She couldn't say, "Lord, you know best, so I'm going to trust him with you." Instead, she believed it was best for Lazarus to be with her. Now, let's think about this. She and Mary and Lazarus lived together. There's no record in scripture where either were married. So in a male-dominated society, you would think that they needed their brother there to help provide for them. So here's Martha complaining to Jesus, because in her mind, it was best that Lazarus had lived. She had trusted Jesus as her Savior. We know that because she calls him Lord. But it doesn't seem that she had trusted him as her Lord. When she met him, she runs out and she calls him Lord. But now, if he was really her Lord, would she have the audacity to complain to him?
That's right.
She saw Jesus as being less than God. In Matthew 8:23-27, we read about Jesus and disciples being in a boat on the sea. You remember that story or that narrative where a violent storm comes up and Jesus is asleep in the boat. And all those boys are panicking. They're worried. They're scared. And they go, "Wake him up. Don't you even care about us?" They go complaining to Jesus, as if he's some other man. But here he is, the Son of God. He is God himself in flesh. They're asking, "Why don't you come and save us? We're dying." They believed Jesus could save them. But if they truly believed that he was God, if they had truly believed that they were with God, why would they have been afraid? When they should have been resting in the presence of God, fully trusted in him, instead they were complaining to him. But Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea became calm. Instead of resting in the fact that they were with the one who could control the wind and sea, they marveled and questioned, "Who is this man that controls the wind and the sea?" Here, Martha, we find she goes out to Jesus so she could scold him. If you had been here, my brother. If you had acted differently, my brother. If you had done this or that, then this would not have happened to my brother. So let me ask, when you find yourself complaining at work, complaining at home, or even complaining in the church, do you realize that what you're saying is you have no confidence whatsoever in who God has placed in leadership in that place, whether it's at work, at home, or the church? When we complain, it's because we think we know best. Everything that we see happen, or when we see changed, or we see something that's different than what we want, we think it's a mistake if we're going to complain about it. We think it's the wrong thing to do, so we complain about what has or what is about to happen. When policies change, when procedures change, when machinery changes, when computer system software changes, even when supervisors change, the first thing said is often, if it ain't broke, why are we trying to fix it? Or we've never done things like that before. Or why do they keep changing everything? Amen. However, if we'll just remain prayed up, then we can rest in the truth that through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to reveal what it is He wants us to know in due time. Folks, whether the leader in the workplace, in the home, or in the church, leaders will not always get things right. Leaders are flawed. I hope y'all know that. We're people wrapped up in a robe of flesh. True disciples will seek the face of God and not complain. In other words, they will intercede on behalf of those leaders because they know they're just mere men and women. Amen. Truth is, sometimes, maybe often, it's not the leader who's got it wrong. Maybe it's the ones complaining. Someone once said this: you will find that as a rule, those who complain about the way the ball bounces are usually the ones who dropped it. But not only, let me get away from this. Not only do we see the simple believer's faith, we also see a true disciple's faith. It almost seems as if Martha called herself. You've seen that, haven't you? You've probably done that. Said something to somebody and wished you could catch it before it got to their ears. Yeah, Brother Mike knows I've done that a lot. He knows that because he catches the brunt. You know, there are people that think that he's influencing me. He catches the brunt of me. The only person catches more than him is my wife. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to hear even more of that? Taylor got tired of it and she moved out. Yep. Here, Martha, it's like she, you know what? It helps us to understand, and I'm learning this more and more. You can't put toothpaste back in the tube. Once it's out, you can't change it. But Martha, she called herself as she spoke to Jesus. And we know that because it's almost as if she's trying to fix it. She said, but even now, Jesus, even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She's trying to fix her complaining. But when she's trying to do this, she's demonstrated a limited faith still. She's revealing it more because she's still not grasped that Jesus is God. She sees him as being less than God. And she says, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Well, what she was missing is the truth that the reason Jesus could ask and receive whatever he wanted was because he is, he was, and he forever will be God. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. We can't separate them two. Amen, amen. Notice what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't scold her. because she had the audacity to question him. He already had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. So he makes the statement, your brother will rise from the dead. Now, Martha, she still didn't get it. When Jesus said this to her, because she replies, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on that day. Do you find it interesting that she declares an understanding that Lazarus will rise from the grave? She knew that the grave was not the end for things for him, and that there was a better day coming for him. The problem was that Martha, it stemmed from the fact that it was a future resurrection, and she had no comfort in the future resurrection. She was living in the now, and she knew that life for her and her sister would be more difficult without a brother there to help her. So they, right now, while living in this male-dominated society, she wanted her brother right there. And more than that, she loved her brother. And now he's no longer with her. Yes, she believed Jesus' teaching of a future reunion day. But in the moment, she was not resting in the hope that a future resurrection would provide. Folks, I've said this before, be careful. The ministry of presence is a wonderful ministry. When we're visiting with folks who are grieving, sometimes the best thing to do is just sit there. Just be there. Because we start telling them what we mean for good. If we're not careful, we're going to offend someone. Unintentionally, don't underestimate the ministry of presence. You know what the truth is? We can believe all the particulars. We can believe, if you believe in Jesus, believe that he is God's only begotten son, born of a virgin, believe that he lived a sinless life and that he died for the sin of the world, believe that on the third day God raised him from the dead. If you believe and confess this, then you will be saved. I'm convinced of this. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 and 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And I believe this is all you have to do to be saved. However, that's not all there is to walking in faith with Jesus. Jesus desires that for us to have a vibrant faith. I've shared this all throughout this series. He's not satisfied with us just getting saved and sitting on the pew. He wants our faith to be in action. He wants us to have a faith moving as the Holy Spirit leads us, acting as Scripture teaches, and communicating and fellowshipping with the object of our faith. Because when we do that, we edify the body of Christ. It's when we have this kind of faith, we recognize that the resurrection was not an event. The resurrection is a person. We recognize that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Just like Jesus is not some bread, he is the bread of life. He is not a light. He is the light of the world. He is not a door. He is a door to the sheep. The door to the sheep. He's not a good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's not a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a vine. He is the true vine. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus has said that he has power to give and to sustain life as he chooses. And he has the power to resurrect and restore life as he wills. And if we believe in him, we will live, even if the world says we've died. In other words, we who believe in Jesus and confess him as Lord and Savior, we already have eternal life. We will never die. What does that mean? Jesus is the first fruits from the grave. Yet he was raised. Without him, there is no resurrection. But because he did rise from the grave, true disciples of Jesus Christ don't just believe in a future hope of a new home. We know we have a living hope right now. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation already, for salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Folks, I'm not hoping that heaven will be my home in the future. Right now, I'm as sure as heaven is my home as if I was already there. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, he holds the future. Life is worth living just because he lives. Because he lives, we can rest in the fact that we will never die. Coming to a close, Martha, she now seems to be getting it. It appears she's now getting it. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and he who comes into the world." You know, this assurance of eternal life is conditional. Jesus died for the sin of the world. His love for you is unconditional. But to spend eternity with him in heaven is conditional. We must believe in Jesus, confessing him as Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead. We must believe that he is the resurrection. Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe?" Martha responded, "Yes, Lord, I've come to believe." I want to ask you today, as they come to sing the song of invitation, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that he is the Messiah? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the one whom God sent into this world? Do you believe? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe without a doubt in me. Brother Buck was saved when he got to this altar. What pulled him to the altar was that he believed, and he was just ready to confess it with his mouth. What about you? There are many in here who believes. There's many of you in here right now. You believe that Jesus is God's only begotten Son. You believe he died for your sin. You believe he rose from the grave. You believe he's coming back. The question is, are you ready to confess that Jesus is Lord? Surrendering your life to him. Trusting him with your life. That's what he's calling us to do. When we talk about becoming a disciple, we're not talking some magic formula. We're talking about just trusting him with every area of our lives. Some days we'll do good. Some days we'll falter. Other days we'll do better. Some days we'll do worse. You know what the Christian life is? It's up and down. What it is not is in and out. It's mountains and valleys. If you believe, are you ready to confess? As they begin to sing this song, are you today?